Just one last thing about slichas. If you say slichas privately, you know, in the middle of slichas, a few times you say Hashem Hashem Karachim V'Chanun. It's called Yud Gimel Midasirachim. The third attribute of mercy. The only time you're allowed to say that is if you're davening with a minion. Then you could say the 13 attributes of mercy. If you're davening by yourself, by the way, this applies a whole year also. Like in Tachnun, you know, you have Vayav Hashem Alpon Vayikra Hashem Hashem. If you're not davening with a minion, you don't say Yud Gimel Midasirachim. Slichas year round doesn't matter. Now, some people have a minig that if they say it with the trup, with the migun, like you read the Torah, but the Rebbe writes that he didn't hear such a thing, and you don't do it. So you just omit it. What? If there's 10 people in the room, some people say you could say it, yeah. No, really, but if there's no 10 people in the room... Okay, anyway, to get more into Rosh Hashanah things, discuss a little bit about the night of Erev Rosh Hashanah. This year Rosh Hashanah is Tuesday and Wednesday, right? So Erev Rosh Hashanah is Monday. Sunday night is the night before Erev Rosh Hashanah, right? Now, Erev Rosh Hashanah itself is a day you don't say Tachnun. But the Mincha before Erev Rosh Hashanah, you do say Tachnun. Why is it normally we know Friday afternoon you don't say Tachnun because the next day is Shabbos? Rosh Chodesh, Erev Rosh Chodesh, you don't say Tachnun because the next day you don't say Tachnun. Why is it that on Erev Rosh Hashanah, the Mincha before Erev Rosh Hashanah, you say Tachnun? So they bring down one of the reasons is because Erev Rosh Hashanah in the morning, in the Slichos, you say Tachnun. So basically you're saying Tachnun that day anyway. So therefore, the night before, whether it's Krishma before going to sleep, or at Mincha before, Erev Rosh Hashanah, so then you would say Tachnun. But Erev Rosh Hashanah itself, there's a longer Slichos, like double the length of a regular day slichas, but the shacharis there's no tachnun. Even if you daven slichas late, let's say you woke up late and daven already after daybreak, you still say the tachnun in the slichas, even though you're not going to be saying it during the davening in itself. Now, Erev Rosh Hashanah itself, as it's mentioned many times, the Torah brings down that it's really a festive time for a Jew. Because we're certain that Hashem is going to forgive all the people that are avedis and made us into a good book. So therefore the Torah writes, as I've quoted lately in the Living Torah, Misatvin Levainim, you wear white garments and you dress up, because we're certain that Hashem is going to give everybody a good year. Erev Rosh Hashanah, we don't blow shofar. Even though the whole month of Elul we blow shofar, Erev Rosh Hashanah, we don't blow shofar. It says not only that, you shouldn't blow shofar in any way whatsoever. It says you shouldn't even blow to practice. Even the night before Erev Rosh Hashanah, you shouldn't blow shofar. It says, if you must, you push with me to see if a shofar is going to work and you're leaving. And okay, then you could do it in a locked door. But otherwise it says, you don't blow shofar on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Now the halacha says the reason for that is to differentiate between the customary shofar blowing in Elul, which is customary, and the mandatory shofar blowing, which is Rosh Hashanah. So to separate the two, we make a break of a day as if to show, this is over now, this is a new type of blowing. It also says in Halacha, the reason is, la'arviv es ha-satan, to confuse the satan. How do you confuse the satan? The satan thinks, oh, you didn't blow today, it's probably Rosh Hashanah is over already. So Rosh Hashanah is over, so when Rosh Hashanah comes, the next day he won't come to prosecute and make problems for the Jews. This is what it says in Simba Halacha. So the obvious question is, how stupid do you think the Satan is already? I mean, this goes on every year. You think you can fool him every year. You don't think the Satan has a calendar in heaven to see when Rosh Hashanah is. You think it doesn't know? Everybody in the world knows when Rosh Hashanah is, except the Satan. I mean, what type of moron is the Satan that you say, La'arviv es ha-satan, to mix up the satan that you should think Rosh Hashanah passed? So the Rebbe explains a very simple, but a very important explanation of this. It doesn't mean to mix up the satan that he thinks that it's over and he doesn't know what the calendar is. It says the whole concept of shofar is to do tshuva. The concept of shofar. The Rambam says, in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam writes that even though blowing shofar in Rosh Hashanah is Gzeir Sakosov, the Torah says to do it, but Rem is Yes Bedover, there's a hint to it. Like, it says, you know, I talk a shefer beev, I'm leichradu. Won't the people tremble, you know, when the shefer is blown? So it says the shefer in the month of Elul symbolizes tshuva. Erev Rosh Hashanah, when we stop blowing shefer, what it really means is we're done with tshuva. Tshuva is done. We don't need the shefer Erev Rosh Hashanah because tshuva is done already. So what does it mean to mix up the satan? The satan says, one minute, the Jews finished doing tshuva, they're not blowing shefer, that means they finished doing tshuva, so how can I prosecute the Jews? They have nothing to prosecute for. They're already forgiven. Not that the satan doesn't know which day of the calendar is Rosh Hashanah. It means, in a spiritual sense, shefer symbolizes tshuva. And if Rosh Hashanah we stop blowing, which means that the Eden finished tshuva and they're all forgiven, so the satan says, I have nothing to come for. I'm out of a job because the Eden did tshuva. That's the reason why we don't blow shefer Erev Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, but I'm saying even at night you don't blow. I know, but what if somebody wants to practice blowing shefer? In fact, that's one of the proofs. We mentioned this at the beginning. I mean, we started learning. There are people that say you're not allowed to blow shefer ever at night. So one of the proofs they say against it is because the halacha discusses whether you can blow shofar the night of Erev Rosh Hashanah. The Magen Avraham writes, you really shouldn't even blow shofar the night of Erev Rosh Hashanah. So if you're never allowed to blow shofar, how can they have such a din to begin with? So you see even there that you could really blow at night, except Erev Rosh Hashanah at night you don't blow. And again, for the same reason, we want to show that the Avodah of Tshuva is completely over. Another important thing is the concept was called Hataras Nedarim, nullification of the vows. Now, the source of it is really from the Shalal, but it says that based on the Gemara, if you don't want to have a problem with your vows that you made a whole year, every Rosh Hashanah you should get up and nullify the vows. Now, the nullification of vows is in a general nature, as we say the text in the Siddur. And like we learned every year, it's very important people should know what they're saying. Because if you're reading the words, you don't know what you're saying, then it's worthless. You know, therefore, if you don't know it in Hebrew, or it's easier in English, you say it in English. Doesn't matter any language you can say it in. Now, Hataras Nedarim officially needs a Bezdin of three. So in other words, you need at least groups of four. One guy getting up and nullifying the vows, and Bezdin sitting. What's the interesting thing about a Bezdin of Hataras Nedarim is even normally a Bezdin is not allowed to be relatives. Not to each other. You can't have two brothers sitting in a Bezdin. Or two brothers-in-law sitting, unless if everybody agrees on monetary issues. But in a regular Bezdin, you can't have relatives. You can't, like Moshe and Aaron cannot sit in a Bezdin. And it cannot be relatives to the litigant. But the Gemara says, the Shulchan Aruch says, that by Hataras Nedarim, you're allowed to have relatives in the Bezdin. This year might be a little different because, again, we have to do Prusbel, and this I'll explain later. But the bottom line is, it's so you do it in a group of four. Other people, and this is our minig, as preferred, should be done in the presence of a minion. So now you have groups of 11 rather than groups of four. Minimum is groups of four, one person saying and three people the Bezdin, and you nullify basically all the vows that the person made. Why do we do this? Because people are very lax when it comes to vows. You know, you make a vow and you don't keep it, like the diets. You know, you make a vow, you're going to diet, and you don't, and this and that. So you just do it in a way that nalachatchil is brought down in halacha. In fact, in our Siddur also says it should be done before midday if possible. Okay?
Word by word or
the general concept you need to know. Now, in halacha, it says like this. Really, women should do it too. Because they also make vows, believe it or not. Probably more vows than the men make. But, it says, in many places, the husbands do it for them. And that's when the husbands do it, they're doing it for them too. So it's a very interesting thing. What happens if a girl's not married? So it says, in Svarim is brought down, that the future husband, whoever it may be, when they're doing it, is automatically doing it for their eventual spouse.
Not the father?
Huh?
Not the father?
No. The father does it for kids under bar mitzvah. Or under bar mitzvah, really, there's no vows. Kid under bar mitzvah makes a vow, it's worthless. Okay, some people should try.
Is it supposed to happen?
What?
Remember last year we went through the book, the old Siddur has the first book. This new one don't have the first book.
I believe the new Siddurim have first book. But you can't use a kid in the Besdin. A kid has to be an adult in the Besdin. You know, people over 13 for sure in the Besdin. Now, because last year we discussed this at great length, there's a concept of Shemitah. We'll start it. We'll see how far we get with it. This radical year, this is called, not only did Eretz Yisrael, the earth has to be not worked on, there's a din that the debts, Shemitah's Ksafim, Bizman HaZem Midrabanan. Shemitah's Ksafim means as follows. The Torah says that you should, the Torah warns a person, Ben Yeh Dovarim Levavcha B'li Aleimer, Karva Shnasa, Sheva Shnasa, Shemitah. There's a din in biblical times that if you somebody owed you money, when Shemitah comes, the debts fall off. There's no obligation anymore to pay the debts. Nowadays it's rabbinic. Okay, when Damina Beis HaMikdash was biblical, now it's rabbinic. But nevertheless, the Gemara says, in the days of Hillel, the famous Hillel saw that people stopped lending money. He said, why should I lend somebody money? Shemitah is going to come. They're not going to pay me back. I'm not going to lend money. So the Torah warns you, don't have such an evil thought. But the bottom line is, when it comes to money, money is money. Parenthetically, there was a Maisa, once by a Fabrengen, that I was speaking a lot about the believing in Mashiach and all that. So a big Rav of Canada, of Montreal, the chief rabbi of Montreal was there, and he said to the Rebbe, between Sichas, whenever he says, Rebbe, you're talking to the Chassidim, they believe in Mashiach. Why are you talking about Mashiach? So one of the Jews from Montreal, a rich person, was sitting right in front of the Rebbe. So the Rebbe turned to the rabbi, he pointed at that guy, and said, I don't remember the exact expression, how much money it was, but the Rebbe said to him, yeah, he believes in Mashiach, ask him for $1 million loan, and tell him you'll pay him back when Mashiach comes. You'll see if he gives the blood, if he believes that Mashiach's coming today. you'll see how much he believes. Anyway, so Hillel saw that the bottom line is people stopped lending money. So Hillel instituted a concept called Prusbul. What's the concept of Prusbul? Prusbul is, the Torah says, you cannot collect private debts. The concept of Prusbul is, I give over to Besdin all the debts that I have. Meaning, anybody that owes me money, I'm giving it over to Besdin. And because Shemitah of money is rabbinic, Hillel couldn't do this in biblical times. Because it's only rabbinic, that the Chachamim said it, so Hillel said, because you're not allowed to do it if it's a private debt, but if it's a debt that Besdin, that people owe Besdin, it's collectible. So people give over the debts to Besdin before Shemitah. What happens though with the debts that you get during Shemitah and other reasons? So the Rebbe wanted that people should make a prusbul the year before Shemitah was last year. And now it's the end of Shemitah. Going into Hakol, so the Rebbe wanted people to make a prusbul again.